There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a deeper dive into stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today at On Deadline, we're looking at the new Trump administration's efforts to curb illegal immigration, which includes declaring a national emergency at the United States-Mexico border. President Donald Trump has been back in office for just a week now, and already he's blazing through these efforts to solve what he calls a crisis at the southern border, and part of this involves enacting mass deportations. So, as a quick reminder, the border was a top five issue for voters in the 2024 election, with most polls showing that Americans believed Trump was the best candidate to solve it. And now, as president, Trump has increased the number of deportations in his first week, with nearly 1,000 undocumented immigrants being arrested in Chicago in just one day. An ICE report from the fiscal year ending September 30th showed that last week's single day was more than triple the average number of daily arrests of non-citizens with criminal convictions or pending charges. For your records, that number was 310 arrests. And another policy that Trump has looked to adopt is an end to birthright citizenship as we know it. What has been protected and codified under the 14th Amendment may now soon be in question, with Trump trying to revoke legal citizenship status for those who were born in the U.S. with undocumented parents. But Trump's attempt to end that with an executive order brought opposing legal action from almost half of the attorney generals in the United States. So now the question is, will it stand? To offer a legal perspective on the policy and more, Jill Hasday joined Odyssey. She's a law professor with the University of Minnesota.
Minnesota is part of a 24-state lawsuit. Keith Ellison just joined against birthright citizenship. This is challenging the executive order that if you are born in the United States to an undocumented immigrant or a non-citizen, you are no longer considered a citizen of the United States. Now, in the 14th Amendment of our Constitution, it says anyone born in America is a citizen of the United States. Can you unpack what President Trump is trying to do here and if he will actually accomplish limiting birthright citizenship?
Okay, so let me just start with a little background.
Yes.
There's this case the Supreme Court decided before the Civil War called Dred Scott. Many people consider it the worst Supreme Court decision of all time, which is a very competitive category. But what it said was that black people could never be citizens, whether slave or free. In the 14th Amendment's first sentence, which is called generally the Birthright Citizenship Clause, it directly overruled that Supreme Court decision and any natural-born person born in the United States subject to its jurisdiction is a citizen of the United States. So there's no permanent class of non-citizens. Trump's executive order targets both undocumented immigrants, and it also targets people who are here legally but but temporarily, for instance, someone on a student visa. And it essentially says that unless one of your parents is either a U.S. citizen or a lawful permanent resident, in other words, someone who has the right to stay here forever, you are not a citizen. Trump previewed that he was going to issue this, so the lawsuits were ready to go, and there's been a number of suits filed, including one by, 22 states, including Minnesota, basically saying that this is unconstitutional and can't be enforced. Personally, I think the states have the better argument, but we'll see.
Are people being denied passports? Or if a child today is born at, HCMC, and their parent, their mother is undocumented or doesn't have full citizenship, maybe she's here on a work visa or a student visa, will that child, as of today, not be issued a Social Security number?
The executive order goes into effect in 30 days, so
okay,
not as
days.
Of today. I think it's February 19th it hits. But the idea is that as of February 19th, when you write away for your kid's Social Security card, the idea is the letter is going to come back. You're not, that kid isn't a citizen, no Social Security card for you. Or when you fill out the form for the State Department for your passport, it'll come back. You're not entitled to a U.S. passport.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
While the majority of Americans seem to approve of mass deportations with their votes, Trump is ruffling some feathers with these plans. During his first week in office, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt shared photos of handcuffed people boarding a military plane in a post to the social media platform X. She wrote that the deportations, by way of flights back to their countries of origin, had started. However, the origin country in question, Colombia, denied the flights, and that nation's president, Gustavo Petro, criticized Trump for the move. The U.S. cannot treat Colombian migrants as criminals, Petro shared on X. I deny the entry of American planes carrying Colombian migrants into our territory. However, that denial didn't last long. Trump quickly responded, saying that he would place 25% tariffs on goods from the country and place a travel ban on Colombian government officials, as well as all allies and supporters. A few hours after the threats, Petro agreed to accept the migrants back into his country, and he actually sent planes to retrieve them. So is this the new normal now for America's immigration system? What should those here illegally expect moving forward? Virgil Wiebe from the University of St. Thomas Law School joined Odyssey to share more.
You work so closely with these immigration issues, immigration community, immigrant communities. The immigration is front and center. And there is a sense from many that it's a mess right now. People entering this country and there's no real regulation and borders are open. Where do you see this going with President Trump talking about mass deportation and now with this birthright citizenship executive order? There's really people in this country, some of them have been calling for some stark changes. As someone who deals closely with these issues, give us your thoughts and your perspective on what's going on right now.
Well, there definitely will be stark changes. They've been promised, and the executive orders are an effort to make those promises come true. And it's worth noting that entries at the border, both across the at ports of entry as well as not, have been going down quite dramatically recently. Also, it is important to know that the American people are not 100% in favor of mass deportation. A recent Wall Street Journal poll showed showed that 70% of Americans are not in favor of deporting people who have been living here for some time and have played by the rules. So it's a mixed opinion about what to do with the American people.
What do you think, though, should be done? Because there are people who are frustrated with some of the just not rules in place and the need to have a more organized way for people to enter this country. And there's been pushback on the way it's been done the last 4 years.
Well, I think people should look at the last year of the Biden administration. I didn't agree with everything that was done, but they did take measures that resulted in a lower rate of movement across the southern border in an unorganized fashion. So there are things that can be done short of the draconian measures that are now on the table. We have to remember as well that people are fleeing, and they are fleeing for valid reasons, often war, conflict, persecution, and the tradition of our country has been to be welcoming to those folks. So it is a tough balance, I grant that, but the swing that we're going to see, I think, is going to be much more dramatic than many people anticipate.
During his campaign, solving issues at the border was among the things that Trump promised to do in one day, along with ending the war in Ukraine and bringing down grocery prices and interest rates. And in fact, on Election Day, Trump announced this: "Starting tomorrow, I will act with historic speed of strength and fix every single crisis facing our country." But many people are wondering, as legal challenges start to pile up, if Trump's plans on the mass deportation front will be as easy to execute as his team seems to believe that they are. Immigration attorney Rosanna Berardi shared her thoughts with Odyssey.
It's been a hectic first couple of days for President Trump in office. He has signed several immigration-related executive orders. But Rosanna, what has changed since he was sworn in on that front?
Oh, good morning. The real question is, what hasn't changed? We were expecting a lot of movement here, but wow, just watching him sign all the executive orders pertaining to immigration was a bit mind-numbing. First off, the big one, the termination of birthright citizenship. The 14th Amendment basically says if you're born in the United States, you're a U.S. citizen. There's an executive order that he signed on Monday night saying, contrary, you are not a U.S. citizen if you were born to someone in unlawful status. As it stands today, 22 states have challenged that. We expect that one to go away. It's really dangerous and really complicated to try and change a constitutional amendment. The other big one is the number of refugees in the refugee program. Refugees are not what people think. They're individuals that are abroad. It's not safe for them to stay in their home countries. The UN High Commission determines that, helps them get to the United States. That program has been suspended. Very concerning on that front, as these are individuals that are really, really vetted at a high level, brought to the United States. So we've seen some really aggressive things, but I just keep telling our clients, the president doesn't make the law. And this is why we have three levels of government. We expect the judiciary to get involved. And I will go to my grave saying, where is Congress on all of this stuff?
You know, with these legal challenges, I mean, realistically, how long could it take these things to play out and get resolved?
Well, you know, it depends. Now, we saw something really unusual with how quickly the TikTok issue went to the Supreme Court. That's not normal in the judicial world. What happens is usually a bunch of lower courts see these types of hearings and these claims, and then they get bundled up, or there'll be one that will ultimately go to the Supreme Court to be, you know, definitely reviewed by the high court. So, you know, it could take 6 months, it could take a year. It really just depends. But what will probably happen is there'll be an injunction on some of these. And an injunction is a stay by the court saying, nope, we're not putting this one in order until someone else looks at this. So we're watching this closely, really confusing. So many of them came out. My head is spinning and our phones are ringing off the wall. People are afraid. And I think that was part of it, right? That part of it was, you know, we're taking a position on immigration as a country and we want to scare people. And there's a lot of rhetoric flying around and we'll see actually, you know, how this all shakes out at the end of the day.
With high prices and high inflation, illegal immigration, getting his cabinet picks approved, the war in Ukraine, simmering tensions in the Middle East, climate change, diversity, equity, inclusion controversies, and much more on his plate, President Trump hasn't shied away from taking action in his first week in office. Also, don't forget that as one of his first orders of business, Trump pardoned every participant of the January 6th attack on the Capitol, even convicts who had assaulted police officers. His stated aim was to undo the legacy of former President Joe Biden, who beat him for the Oval Office in 2020. To meet his goal, Trump has set his first 100 days in office to be described in one word: hectic. Still, it's important to note that unlike the passing of a law, executive orders don't go into effect the moment that Trump signs them. There is a window of time that opens them up for legal challenges, which is what we've seen as he's pumped them out. Whether it be the challenging of his changes to birthright citizenship or the creation of Elon Musk's Doge, attorneys general from across the country are pushing back, leaving it up to the courts as to whether or not Trump's actions are really within the bounds of the Constitution. Keep listening to On Deadline for all the latest news on the many initiatives of the Trump administration. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.